You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, what has Jesus done for us? Over the years, people of many ages, from very young ones to much older ones, they've given this answer. They have said that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. As I think about that answer, it's not bad at all, and especially when a three-year-old gives that answer, it is quite an impressive answer. But what does that mean, though? How can a Jewish man dying on a cross nearly 2,000 years ago somehow take away my sins and your sins? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Because that is a common answer, today I want to focus on that and understand what that means, how that works out in a real way. But before we do that, though, we need to touch on two other topics here real briefly. First of all, let's recall the sad reality of our sins. And let's also recall what the Bible says about what we deserve because we have sinned, because we have fallen short of the glory of God. So the sad reality of our sins. The Bible declares that there is none righteous, not even one. So that means that no one is excluded here. We are all included. We are all unrighteous. The important thing here is that God says, to be with me forever, you must be righteous. The problem is, we are all unrighteous. A huge problem. The Bible also says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That we would live a sinless life. We've all fallen short of that. The Bible also indicates that even one sin is a most serious matter. The Bible says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. You don't even have to fall, just to stumble on one point makes us guilty of all. God wants us to know those things are true. We might say, God, that's not reasonable. I'm much better than that guy over there. But yet, in the sight of God, he wants us to know we are in trouble because we are unrighteous in his sight. And then, what do our sins deserve? Do they deserve maybe a slap on the hand? Well, much more than that. Consider what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So what kind of punishment? Jesus himself said in Matthew 13, those who commit lawlessness, in other words, those who do what is contrary to the law, will be cast into the furnace of fire, much more than a slap on the back of the hand. The Bible also says that unbelievers will be punished with everlasting destruction. So no minor punishments at all. So getting back to our key question then, how did Jesus take away our sins? Well, I want to share five things with you, and the five things are included on this card that we have for today. So I'm hoping that you'll take the cards, that you'll fold them in half like this, and you will understand it yourself, and then you'll keep one as a reminder of today, and you'll take the other two and share with others. 5 points on the card. Number one, let's know that Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, Jesus lived without sin in our place. Number three, Jesus received our sins upon himself. Number four, Jesus received our punishment upon himself. Then number five, I'm saying everyone needs Jesus. In other words, because we are poor, miserable sinners, we need Jesus and the benefits of what he did. We need that in order to be righteous in the sight of God. Let's look at the details a little bit more. Going back to number one, let's know that Jesus is the Son of God. By God's revelation, Peter made this famous statement. He said about Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was saying, "You are the promised Savior of the world. You are the Messiah. You are the one that was promised that would come and take away our sins." If Jesus was only a man, it would be impossible for his life and his death to take away any sins. Therefore, he must be, and in fact, he is, the very Son of God. Number two, Jesus lived without sin in our place. Let's understand again that God requires sinless perfection. But we all have a huge problem. We have sinned, and we can't stop sinning. Therefore, God had to send his Son to take our place and live without disobedience, to live without fault, to live without iniquity, to live without lawlessness, to live without rebellion, to live without transgression, to live without trespass, to live without unbelief, to live without wickedness, just to name a few. He had to do it all, and the good news is he actually did it. He did it as our perfect substitute. Then, so that we would know that he did it, the Bible says that in every respect, Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin. How could he do it? Because he is God in human flesh. So let us know that Jesus is our sinless substitute. Part three, Jesus received our sins. Since we have all done wrong countless times, someone must pay the penalty. Either we must pay the penalty, or Jesus could pay the penalty on our behalf. What did God do? Out of great love, the Bible says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What that means is that God the Father laid on his Son when he was on the cross the iniquity, the wrong, the wickedness, all of it. He laid it on his Son. He took all of it upon himself. Think about it like this. Imagine two people, they're together. One is innocent, one is guilty. Then, when the guilty one is being arrested, the innocent one speaks up and says, "I did it. Arrest me. I deserve to be punished." In a sense, that is what Jesus did for us. Even though he is the innocent one, he said, "I am the sinner. I am the only sinner." And he received all of the punishment. That's part four. Jesus received our punishment. First, God the Father took all sins and put them on his Son. And then second, he punished him for all the things that we have done. That reminds me of the story of the whipping boy. That is where the king's son could not have a hand laid upon him to discipline him. So the king's son had a best friend. And every time the king's son was disobedient, the best friend was whipped. He became the whipping boy. So Jesus, in a real sense, he is our whipping boy. We are the ones who have done wrong. He did nothing wrong, but yet he's enduring our punishment. Not fair, is it? But that's how much God loves us. The Bible describes Jesus suffering in our place with these words. The Bible says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So he propitiated our sins. What does that mean? That means that Jesus received upon himself God's wrath for all the things that we have done wrong, for all the things that everyone in the whole world has done wrong. He received it upon himself. So we committed the crimes, but Jesus did all of the time. He endured the cross. He endured this most excruciating pain for for us in our place as our substitute. So we come to number five then. Let's know that everyone needs Jesus. Because we are unrighteous, and yet God demands that we are righteous in order to be with him, it's impossible that we can make ourselves righteous. The only way to get it is by receiving it from Jesus Christ as God's gift to us. We could say it like this: since our wrongs have closed heaven, we need Jesus who opened the way to heaven for us and for all. That's why Jesus said of himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Only through him can we be righteous in God's sight. So how do we get the benefits of what he has done? Let's go to that statement that Peter made there in Acts chapter 2. It tells us in there that upon hearing the word of God, the people were cut to the heart, and they said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." So that was the answer for them, and that is the answer for all people today as well. So on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was at work through God's word to make many people sorry for their sins. And then the Holy Spirit was again at work through the word to give them faith in Jesus. And then through baptism, again, the Spirit of God was at work to gift them with the forgiveness of sins. For unbelievers today, the Spirit of God is continuing to work in those very same ways, wanting to show people their sins, to make them sorry, and to give them faith in Jesus Christ, and then, if not yet baptized, to bring them to baptism for the forgiveness of their sins, and for other people who have been baptized but have fallen away, the Spirit of God will bring them again to the blessings that God gave in holy baptism. Even for us, even as we're gathered here today, the Spirit of God is at work through the Word of God to keep us aware of our sins, to keep us sorry for our sins, to keep us trusting in Jesus Christ as our only Savior, and to keep us sure that we have God's gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, knowing how we have forgiveness through Jesus, let us be thankful and let us use today's business size card handout to share the good news of forgiveness through Jesus with others. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.